Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
And here we go.
What's up? Welcome back to the Smoky Shelter with your host,
Big Lambs,
and Phil. Tonight we are jumping into the 1998 American History X controversial movie. It was a really good movie, but we probably gonna say some bad words tonight.
It's okay, because there's bad people out in this world, and it shows you contemporary America as it was going on, you know what I mean? And it's still going on now. So, I mean, it's real world. It's the real world. Okay, if you're from a Los Angeles, Las Vegas, or something like that, maybe you don't see the shit, but we're from the South. We see it all day long, fucking racism. It's here.
It's a movie about
it's
racism.
It's live and well, baby. Racism's live and well. Now, I feel... I mean, I don't think we need to go into our political views.
No,
or
I don't.
I mean, but I'm just going to say, as long as you're a good person in life, I respect you and will show you just as much respect as you show me.
No matter what race you are.
Yeah, it don't matter. You can be fucking yellow, green, orange, blue, purple. You can be a fucking alien. I don't care. As long as you show me respect, I'm going to show you respect.
Yeah. All right, before we go into our talks on this movie, let me run through a quick Plain Jane summary for anyone who hadn't watched this movie, and then we'll talk about the movie. A former neo-Nazi skinhead tries to prevent his younger brother from going down the same wrong path that he did, and that essentially is what this movie is about.
It is. Let's get into these actors, man. We got
We
got Edward Norton and Edward Furlong.
This is post Terminator 2 days.
Yeah, this is after his role in Terminator 2. And back then, really liked Edward Furlong, man, because I don't know, I reckon he's not far from my age. Maybe a little bit older than me. But I don't know, so I related to him growing up, like when he was on Terminator.
A little bit older than you?
He might be, what, close to 40 now, maybe?
He's born in 77. He's older than me.
Well, I mean, okay. But, you know, I grew up with him as a kid. He was a kid. Terminator 2, I was a kid. You know, you feel me. All right.
I feel you.
He's not that much older than me. He's less than 10 years older than me. So, yeah. I think you can consider that peers, right? Less than 10 years.
Sure.
I mean, when you're in your 30s, I think less than 10 years, if they're in their 30s and I'm in my 30s, that's pretty close, right?
Right.
Anyhow, Edward Furlong did a good job in the movie, but by far, Edward Norton, man, he fucking stole this fucking movie. I mean, he made it its bitch.
Oh, his greatest role ever.
It probably is. It probably is his greatest. Well, I don't know. Primal Fear was fucking awesome.
Primal Fear was good, but to me, this
one,
is,
man,
the best Edward
the
Norton
dialogue,
role
the
I've
dialogue
ever seen.
In this movie, man, when this motherfucker is going to jail and he's like fucking smiling at his little brother and he hits his knees and he's still smiling. And just smiling and smiling, and then that police puts that cuff on him, and his smile went from fucking smile to fucking anger. Man, that dialogue right there, that shit just, it made me have chills. It made me fucking get a teary eye, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like, God damn, that's some fucking good writing. That's some good fucking acting, man.
That's good writing, good acting, good everything, man.
It
that's
really,
a damn
it,
good movie.
It really is, man. This movie will give you the fucking goosebumps. It will give you chills. When that son of a bitch kicks that fucking car thief, kicks his face in the fucking curve, man.
Mm-hmm.
That right there just made my whole body cringe up. Just like, oh, shit.
Oh,
God damn.
Dude, I know. When I watched that shit. I mean, them some...
And then you can think about it right now. Just think about them teeth grinding on the curb and then clack. When it says, say goodnight, motherfucker. Boom.
Yeah, dude. But and that dude has some pretty pearly whites.
Yeah, he did.
And he's like,
They looked all sharp and shit.
And then, but see, this movie kind of does a momentum type thing where it plays shit out of order. Listen, it plays the black and white flashbacks out of order, and the colored shit is all what's going on now.
I want to say something real quick. I did watch this movie, but I listened to a couple of reviews on YouTube.
Yeah.
Nobody mentions the scene where he puts his fucking mouth on that curb.
That's a pretty controversial scene.
Say goodnight, pow, and fucking kicks the back of his head. Nobody mentions that. I listened to like four fucking things on it, and they mention all the racism and all that shit. And a lot of people were mad about this movie because some of the graphic scenes, but mostly they mentioned the language in the movie. But it's all real shit. You know what I mean? You got to see
it happens every day.
This movie
everywhere is
anti-racist. You know, it really is. The whole time
I agree
through the
you.
Movie, he's trying to convince his little brother to
change your ways,
change his
because this ain't the right life.
Right.
This ain't the right thing to do.
But it's showing you the real fact that there's hate out there. I mean,
but let's get into why he's like he is. The reason he has all that hate in his heart is because his father, who's the father on Boy Meets World, did you notice that?
I did.
His father, and the mother is the mother from
Girl Meets World.
No, fuck. No, what's damn fucking hell, dude. You're just pissing me off.
The mother is the mother on Step by Step.
No.
No, that was Susan Sarandon, wasn't it?
Beverly D'Angelo. The mother from all the National Lampoon movies.
Okay, well, I hope we're not doing her on all filmography.
No, we're not. But, I mean, she was on the National Lampoon movies.
Okay.
Of course, we could have fun time.
She was in that, okay.
But yeah, anyway, so
she
I mean,
is a good actress. She did a really good role in this.
Oh yeah.
When she's like, "I wish that you didn't come out of my body." That scene right there made me want to cry, man.
There's a lot of this movie that kind of
get your fucking Sherlock nose. I don't know before I cut your Sherlock nose off. Get your ass out of my house before I cut your Sherlock nose off.
What I was going into is the dad was killed. He was shot while he was trying to put a fire out. And he was in, you know, that part of town. So he took that as, you know, from that point on, he was racist. And then that Cameron guy.
You forget to mention that scene where he's sitting at the dinner table with his dad, and his dad's racist.
Yeah, well, I didn't get into that because it don't show that shit. It does this shit backwards.
Okay,
it shows
but,
you that, and then it
but
goes
yeah,
further.
But that's why he's...
That's why
that's he's... That's why he's racist. It's because his dad was racist. And then whenever...
That's where racism comes from, your parents.
Oh, yeah. But essentially, that's why he was racist. But the reason why he went dysfunctional the way he did is because his father was killed being a fireman going into a bad neighborhood or urban area trying to put out a fire, and he got shot by, he claims, a drug dealer that's still collecting a welfare check.
Right.
So I mean, he's pissed
off.
So
not only is he a pissed off racist, now he's a pissed off Republican also.
Alright, so now he's on fucking the news saying all
crying
this shit about
this shit.
Black people, talking shit about black people. And who sees this?
Cameron.
Cameron. And I'm sure that's how they meet, is because Cameron sees this. He's looking for these people. He's looking for these kids that are don't got no. You know, he's trying to start a cult. And that's basically what he does, is starts a fucking cult.
Yeah, him and Cameron do.
Yeah. And we don't mention that Edward Furlong at the beginning of the movie, he writes us
he's having to write this paper for,
hey, well, he
for
writes,
Mr. Swink,
he writes
for Dr.
Essay. He writes a essay on a book that
it's about Hitler.
Well, Adolf Hitler. It's his autobiography, but it's a book about his autobiography, and called Ari Shaffir or something. I don't know.
Something Keith. But anyway, it's not important. But it's a book about Hitler.
And who's mad about it? Murray. The teacher, the history teacher. And when the history teacher is
Sweeney.
Dr.
Mr. Sweeney.
Murray Sweeney. Is that what it was?
I can look.
Sweeney.
Bob Sweeney. Dr. Bob Sweeney.
Okay. I thought it was Murray.
Played by Avery Brooks.
All right. Well, he's he's in there talking to the principal saying, hey, this is not right and all this. And he's like, Derek put him up to it or whatever. He's like, I can assure you Derek didn't put him up to this. Yeah, and then you're like, well, how the fuck does he know? How the fuck does he know what Derek's doing? You know what I mean? Because you don't really know that they know each other at this
point. No, because everything's playing backwards.
Right.
You need to watch Momentum, but Memento.
Or Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, well, that's similar.
I realize everything's going backwards, and it goes black and white every time something goes to history.
All right, go ahead. I'm listening.
But, so he makes him write another book, and it's about how Derek's going to prison and all has changed, or Derek's life has changed his life and changed his family's life and all this. So
his decisions that he's made.
Yeah, yeah. How it has
evolved. Evolved.
How it's influenced his life. That's what it is.
Can we talk for a minute about the guy that he boot stomped on the curb?
Yeah, let's go for it. He's a basketball fella.
Yeah, they don't let you know that right away. Later on, you find out that they got a beef on the basketball court because old fat boy Randy from Earl.
I think that was just happenstance that it was just a coincidence. I don't think that he went to steal his car in general. I think he was just going to steal anybody's car.
I disagree. He knew whose house that was. He had a beef with that dude.
Maybe, possibly.
They run him off the courts in the basketball game.
They did, and that could have been what they was doing.
And we didn't mention big old Randy in this shit from My Name is Earl.
Oh, yeah.
And he was
I always think of Donkey Lips when I think of him, but that wasn't him.
Have you seen him lately? Google a picture of him now if you ain't seen him.
I seen him. He played in Wolf of Wall Street. He was thin.
He wasn't as thin as he is now. He's fucking thin. Podcast Land, check it out. Just Google, what's that dude's name? My Name is Earl. I just know him as Randy.
I don't know, but don't look him up because you're
I'm just looking the names and the characters.
And you're going to see something he played in.
I'm not in the filmography. I'm in American History X right now.
I feel you.
All it's telling me is the guy's name and
the
character's
name. I feel
like
that's why you win, though, every week. Could you cheat? You're a cheater.
Ethan Supley.
Ethan, that's it.
Ethan Supley played Seth.
Or maybe it's Ethan Supley.
I think Supley, but I've heard other people say Supley.
So all right. What about that song he's singing in the band?
I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of a song.
Oh, that's a real racist song.
Oh, yeah. It was to, like, God Bless America or some shit, but it was he changed words, and it was real racist.
That's a real song, though.
All right, so...
My eyes have seen the glory of the... Something at the zoo.
All right.
I washed my hands in something's blood and all the mongrels, too. What's mongrels? What is mongrels?
Bad people.
Is it?
Yeah, just bad guys.
Bad guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't say the other one.
Yeah, you didn't. If you want to hear that song, guys, go check it out on American History X. But anyway, then we need to talk about the main character. He goes to prison. And once he gets to prison, he realizes every brother is eyeballing him because he's got a skint head. So he says, fuck it. I got to come out and show myself and throw up a flag and just hope a friend sees it. And he does. He pulls that shirt off with that big old swastika on his chest.
I bet I can make you be racist.
Hmm?
This is a new little game. I bet I can make you be racist.
Let's not play this game. I'm not.
Hold on. Just sour cream and...
onions.
Salt and
vinegar.
Salt and
vinegar.
Salt and
vinegar.
Salt and vinegar.
Nigger.
Told you.
Was sour cream and onion really supposed to be said, or did you just add that because you fucked up and thought it was sour cream and onion instead of salt and vinegar?
No, Bo Burnham does the joke, and he's going into a bunch of different stuff and making them say the end of the word, and then he's like, salt and vin, and they all say, nigger, and, right. And he's like, oh, you fucking said that, or some shit. It's just a funny little thing.
All right. Anyway, so he's in prison, and Well, you want to, this is your movie, and I'm running through it. You want to talk about what happens after he goes to prison?
Yeah, he goes to prison. He gets out that day that old buddy's got to write this book report or whatever.
Mm. No, Mike, let's talk about what happens while he's in prison.
Oh, well, we don't get to that part until he goes and beats the shit out of Cameron. Because he beats the shit out of Cameron because he tells Cameron, stay the fuck away from my family. You're not to fucking see Danny no more. And he's like, yo, don't gotta worry about that. Danny will come to me. And that's when he beats the shit out of Cameron. And when he beats the shit out of, at the party.
Who are you talking about beating the shit out of Cameron?
Edward Norton beats the shit out of Cameron.
I'm talking about...
But it don't talk about his part in prison until he beats the shit out of Cameron and he and his little brother Danny gets pissed off at him.
Okay, well then let's move on to your part then. I mean, I didn't know we were going in order with their flashbacks.
Well, we wasn't, but...
So I said, hey, let's talk about him in prison and...
Well, we can just talk about him in prison, but I was going to get to the reason why the prison story got brought up. And it's,
all right, go ahead.
It was because they was at that party that... Derek told Danny not to go to because he was going to go to the party to tell Cameron, you don't fuck with my family no more. We're out of it. We're going to change our lives and we're not going to be doing this. We're going to get real jobs. You know. So he goes up there and Danny's in the room talking to Cameron about this fucking that book report and all that shit. And he's like, Derek walks in. He's like, I told you not to fucking be here. He's like, well, go outside. He's a little chick talking to you. Stay close.
Little chick looking for you.
Yeah, there's a little chick out there looking for you. Stay close by. And he goes in there and talks to Cameron. And Cameron says, don't worry about that. Your brother come to me. You ain't got to worry about me coming to your brother. He said, Danny's a good boy. He'll come to me. Anyway, and that's when he beats the shit out of him. And when he walks out of the room, who walks in there after him? His buddy, Seth. So Seth goes in there and sees Cameron all fucked up. And this at this point, Derek's outside with his ex-old lady. His ex-old lady's calling him a fucking nigger lover.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse my language podcast.
That's what she said.
Yeah, she's calling him a nigger lover and all this. And then
it's a real racist movie, guys. Can't Seth, take the heat. Get out of the kitchen.
Seth comes out with a fucking pistol about to shoot fucking Danny. Or Derek.
Derek.
And he says, you, what is
that? Dare? Dare?
Like, Dare, what
they
the?
Call him Dare?
What the fuck did you do? And then what does he do? He fucking puts the fucking juke move on him and steals his gun from him. He, like, punches him in the neck and steals
his gun. Been to prison, man. He knows.
He does some kind of...
We won't talk about what happened to him in prison, but...
He does some quick fucking move and steals his gun. And he's like fucking... And Danny's done run off at this point. So Derek goes to chase him down to try to find him, and Danny jumps in by... tries to beat his ass a little, or pushes him a little bit up against
shows
the wall.
Him like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
What are you doing, Dare? What are you doing, Dare?
They said Dare a lot.
Yeah, and he pushes him up against the wall a couple times. Danny gives him them little free shots, you know. And he's like, all right, let's go talk. And settle down, young man.
Settle down, young frying pan.
So this is when...
Simmer down, little frying pan.
This is when Derek tells Danny about his life in prison and why he has changed his ways. And it is because he goes into prison and he sees this neo-Nazi group, Aryan Brotherhood group that he starts hanging out with.
Well, they see him. Because he threw up the flag.
Yeah, he took his shirt off and got a big old Nazi sign, swastika
slapped onto his chest.
Right, got
wide kind of, open hand sign.
Got all kind of tattooed Rottweilers on his back and shit. All right, so he puts out his sign and all the white boys start loving on him.
But we gotta say the
literally loving
in a minute. We'll get there. But we gotta say the white boys in this prison was like maybe a quarter, not even a quarter. I think they were about like an eighth of the capacity.
Right.
I mean, there was one little group of white guys.
Yeah.
Everybody else.
But it was a tough group.
Oh, man, they were biker tough. I mean, yeah. But everybody else was of some form of nationality color. I mean,
right.
I'm not saying they were all black. But, I mean, there was black, Mexican. But, I mean, whites, there was... But all the ones that were in there were hard as fuck, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
You should watch that Ross's comedy show where he roasts the prisoners. Man, that's so fucking good. He talks to some Nazis in there, and he's like, how long you got in here? He says, oh, I got life. He says, oh, well, you should have got 6 million lives for all the motherfucking Jews killed in the Holocaust. It was funny.
All right. Let's get back into this. So, yeah, basically, his little brother understands him and decides they all rip down the posters and there's flags and shit in the room. And he's like, all right, you're right. I shouldn't be racist anymore. I'm going to quit being racist because Dare told me to stop being racist.
All right. Well, it was because he ultimately got fucked in his ass in prison. And
oh, yeah, we were talking about prison.
And the only person that saved his life was a black person. And
let me tell you what happened was. What had happened was he was hanging out with the black guy, funny as fuck, too, by the way. That dude has to be a comedian.
Blackity black.
But he was hilarious. And
that guy is a comedian, I think. All
right, well, they were flipping sheets and doing laundry and shit, and Edward Norton wouldn't talk to him for a long time. He'd just sit there and he'd fold. He'd just sit there and fold clothes.
He made him laugh.
You got to talk, white boy. You got to talk. And eventually he said something that made the boy.
He put a KKK sheet on his head and started talking to him.
In real redneck and talking. I'm sorry. But, yeah. And he made him laugh. And once he made him laugh, they just started talking.
And this was at the point where he was getting fucked by these white guys.
But why did he turn on the white guys?
Because they were working with Mexicans.
The leader was making deals with Mexicans. He's like, no, fuck that, man. We've got to be real racist. We can't be partial racist.
We can't act like we're fucking racist.
We can't be hypocrite racist. Right. I mean, if we're going to be racist, let's be racist.
Well, Derek was into it for a reason.
Because his dad.
Not only that, though. He's seen his neighborhood changing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice place when they grew up there.
Right, right.
When his dad brought them
Venice
back.
Venice Beach.
And it was changing because it was an urban group coming, right. You know. And it was getting bigger and a bigger deal. And we did forget to mention that they run in that fucking old supermarket that was owned by a white family and had a bunch of white employees. And then when the illegal guy or the foreign guy bought it out, he started hiring a bunch of illegal immigrants. Yeah. And they went in there and fucking destroyed that place. Did you see that fucking hamburger, Seth? Big-ass hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
It's plastic, you can tell. When he picks it up, it's a big plastic hamburger. But anyway, we're getting into the part where...
No, we were talking about the prison scene. Okay. But the reason, he felt like they were being hypocrites. So he said, he bucked against them. So they fucking held him down and fucking raped him.
They held him up against the shower wall.
And they fucking raped him in prison. And
then they fucking smashed his head into the wall.
And then the next scene, they
passed out bleeding on the floor.
The next scene, they go to the cafeteria and he's walking by with his tray. And the dude who actually butt fucked him reached over and tapped the seat next to him, like, come sit down. And he just turned around and walked the other way. And he sat down.
Holding his butt cheeks.
And, he was walking real slowly. And when he went to sit down, he was being real careful. Because, he got fucking tore up. So then he goes and he does his work with his new black friend. And the guy says, what the fuck are you doing, man? You just dissed them in front of you. He's like, I ain't fucking worried about them pussies. He's like, I'll beat the shit out of them. They jumped me. That shit won't happen again. He's all hard, back hard now, even though he's limping. But then the guy says, I ain't worried about your Peckerwood friends. Peckerwood. I love that. I'll never forget that word, Peckerwood.
Now you got to worry about the brothers.
Now you got to worry about the brothers because you ain't got no protection. So, and then he was like, so from that point on, I knew every day was my last day. I waited.
It was like Shawshank
Redemption. And I waited for it to come. But it never came.
What's the next thing I know,
it was time to leave. He done grew his hair out. He wasn't shaving his head no more. And then he met his family, and we get into where we're at. But go ahead. What were you saying?
What was the guy's name on Shawshank Redemption? Do you remember?
I don't remember the character's name.
Earl. We'll just say Earl. Morgan Freeman. Like, Earl didn't sit right after that. Earl never was the same after that.
Earl never could walk like fuck a penguin anymore. All right.
They never did fuck with Earl again after he bit that man's dick off.
All right, let's get back into this movie. You got any more talks? Oh, we got to get to the part, the end part. So he drops his brother off for school. He says he's going to meet with whoever he's got to meet with. He don't even get off the campus before he hears a gunshot. He turns around and runs. What's going on is the guy that we've left this part out, he messed with this dude. Like, he was taking a piss or whatever.
These they had a little altercation.
These
in
three
the
black kids brought this nerdy little white kid in, throwing him down, kicking him and shit.
That looks like the kid off of Big Bang Theory. He played on Roseanne.
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of looks like him.
Kind of. It was Hyde.
It was Hyde.
It was Hyde from
it
that
70s
show.
It was Hyde. He was a chunky little fucker then.
It was Hyde. I fucking remember seeing that and going, that was Hyde, dude. But no, it wasn't Hyde. It was not Hyde. It was fucking Francis from Malcolm in the Middle.
It was Francis.
It was Francis.
But he kind of looked like Hyde. Yeah.
Well, he had the hairstyle of Hyde. But anyway, so yeah, it was Francis from Malcolm in the Middle, and he was all dressed up with a button-up shirt tucked in and shit, and he was like, man, you got to learn how to fucking protect yourself, man. Or you got to fight back, man.
No.
But what happened was he come out, and he seen him
kicking.
You got to
stand up for yourself, man. Yeah.
So
okay.
Anyway, he comes out of the stall smoking a cigarette, and he's looking at the fucking guy on the ground, and the black guy looks up at him, and he's like, what's your problem? You got a problem? I'll kick your ass, too. Takes a puff of a cigarette, and he just opens his mouth and blows it in the guy's face and kind of smirks and just walks off. And then the bell rings, and the guy's like, oh, man, you lucky the bell rang. I'd kick your ass. I got to be in class.
Don't want
to
see me in the heater.
And then he helps the guy up, and he's like, man, you gotta stand up for yourself or whatever. But anyway, because they had that fucking
beef, he comes
now
to
we're
school
getting,
the next day with a gun.
Now we're getting to the end of it. Now we're at the end of the movie. Do you want to talk about that part, or do you want me to?
Sure, I'll talk about
Go
it.
Go for it.
He goes in with his little school project for his principal essay, and he's going in early that day because he wants to bring him that and show him that he's
kisses
changed.
Kisses his girlfriend, new girlfriend goodbye.
He does. He kisses his old girl. He goes to
I got to take a piss.
Goes to the bathroom, starts to step away from the urinal or opens the bathroom door, and what does he see? A gun in his face.
No, he just sees that black kid just staring at him.
And then he picks the gun
And then
up.
He pulls the gun and puts it in his face.
And then you just hear the gunshot go off, and then you see Derek, and Derek hears the gunshot.
And he
go
turns
off,
around.
And Derek just goes to running back towards the school.
And then you see the kid, Danny, fall into the urinals.
Yeah. Just lay back fucking blood.
But then Danny keeps narrating the rest of the paper that he wrote. So he's like, so what I've learned is, don't piss people off so they shoot me in the toilet. You know, I mean, well, you don't
just
say that.
Just because I'm reading this don't mean I'm alive.
It's M. Night Shyamalan shit. But, all right, well, this was a good movie, man.
Sorry, Robert. Say, M. Night, come along.
M. Night, come on.
Come along.
Come along. give me a rating review on this movie, Big Lance.
Nah, this is one of my favorite movies. Probably my favorite movie by Edward Norton. This one and Fight Club's probably pretty close.
Yeah,
I probably got the same rating. I would probably have the same rating on these two movies. I really like the movie, and I could relate a little bit growing up. Not like I was a fucking skinhead Nazi or nothing, but I mean, growing up in the South, man, it's a little rough in public schools. Yeah, that's all I'll say about that situation. But now that we're all adults, things are a little different. I'm going to give this a... I'm going to give it an 8.6.
All right. Well, I agree with you. This is probably one of my favorite movies. Not that I watch it often, or you know, but I mean, I've watched it multiple times, and I enjoyed watching it. I was actually looking forward to rewatching it for the podcast because I have not seen it in many, many years. But I knew it. I mean, I probably could have talked about this movie without actually watching it. But I really like this movie too. It just shows you a lot of both sides and different things. It's It's a controversial movie. I mean, if you can't handle the N-word or if you can't handle racism, it's not your cup of tea. Don't watch this movie.
Yeah, it really don't show you both sides, though. It just shows you from the white perspective, kind of.
See, I disagree, because when he made that bond in prison with that guy in the laundry room.
Well, maybe that shows you the black perspective in prison.
It just shows you that what...
People have a heart. Everybody's got a heart. Not ain't got nothing to do with color. If you got a heart, you got a heart. Is that what you're trying to say?
Not at all.
Okay, well, what was you saying?
It just shows you that every person of color, whether it be black, Jew, and Jew I know is technically white, but I mean...
I think Jews actually not good to say.
Jewish people, I'm sorry. I don't know fucking lingo. Yeah. But that, Mexicans, all... Can I say Mexicans?
Yeah, because they're Mexican.
Okay. But any fucking way, they're not the way Derek perceives them.
Right.
You got to use black people in general, because that's primarily
what... But what I'm
about.
Saying is, you're getting a perspective from a white person and a white person's family. You're not really getting a perspective of a black person and his family in white society.
No. You're not getting their perspective.
Right.
If you want to watch that, watch a different movie.
What movie would that be?
Straight Outta Compton, Friday. I don't know if you want
to
watch it from
yeah,
a black...
Yeah, that's it. Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah. So my point is...
That was a good one. Hey, that actually plugs one of our old movies,
yeah,
Straight
Outta
Compton. Check that out.
But my point is what you did see of a different side is when Derek seen that. When he made that bond with that friend, he seen a different side. He seen from the other side. And when he did, it changed his world. And he come out a better man and tried to help his brother. And I believe he would have helped his brother if his brother would have got shot.
Oh, yeah.
He was already... His brother worshipped him.
Oh, yeah. His brother looked up to him and seen him. Hey, I want to mention, whenever he goes to that party, his name had gotten so big. They were calling him Father Vineyard. Father Vineyard, I've heard so much about you, man. You're a fucking god.
He was just like, get the fuck out of my way. Where's Cameron?
Right.
All
right,
well, that was my review. My rating, I'm going to give this movie a hard 8. An 8 is great.
Is that what he got, a hard 8?
He got a hard 8 inches up his ass in this movie. All right, well, let's talk a little budget versus box office, Big Lance. What did this movie spend? This movie was 1998.
Some pretty decent actors. I'm going to say 16 million.
I'd say split the difference, 7.5.
See, that's what's crazy to me. They spent 25 million on Scarface.
What'd this movie make?
And 83, and then they spend... That, but this was like a low budget movie or something. 7 million, 6 million.
It was New Line Cinema.
8 million.
What?
What'd you say they spent?
7.5.
7.5.
It was New Line Cinema.
All right, so they made 98.
None of these actors made a huge paycheck. Even Edward Norton wasn't that big.
All right, they made 12 million.
6.7.
Golly, man.
They lost a little bit.
They've made it in the long run.
Bonus. Opening weekend.
Opening weekend, they made 1 million.
156,000.
Yeah.
That did not work out too good for them, did it?
Nope.
All right, well, let's move into the name game. And this was your pick, so I picked the actor, Edward Norton.
Edward Norton.
I chose. It's on you. First person can't name a movie, loses.
Loses. Go. Primal Fear.
Fight Club.
Okay. Sausage Party.
He was in that as a voiceover. The Incredible Hulk.
It was. I'm challenging you on that. I just don't believe. That's full title?
The Incredible Hulk.
Full title?
Full title.
That's the full title.
Full title.
Was that the original Incredible Hulk? The first one, not the Lou Ferrigno, but the first remake?
No.
It was the second. Mm-hmm. So it had to be something. It had to be the Hulk 2 or the Hulk fucking in New York or some shit. It could not just be the Incredible Hulk.
All right, if you're going to challenge this, I win.
How the fuck is that?
Okay. All right.
Let me see if
because
I can.
Because you're going to look it up, and you're going to look at all, everything.
Well, I'm going to challenge you. After it's over, we'll look that up.
Okay. Okay.
Edward Norton played in.
Hey, here's a new rule to the game. You can say that. You can say, after the challenge, I'll look it up and you lose. But you can also say, if you know it's wrong, you can say, I challenge you right now.
How about
do or die?
How about this? If you challenge me, like if you would have challenged me on Serpico and I would have been right, you lose one of your points, so I automatically win. If you challenge me, if it has to be.
If I lose, you win.
Either way. You challenge me and I'm wrong, and if I challenge you on the Incredible Hulk, yeah, and you're wrong, then you're wrong and you don't get that point, so I win automatically. If
I'm right,
if you're right, then I lose a point because I challenged you, so you automatically win.
So what you're saying is,
so if you're not sure,
yeah,
don't say it because you don't want to be challenged. But if you're not sure that, if I'm not sure that that's not right, and I want to challenge you, but I'm taking a risk by challenging you.
Yeah. So what you're saying?
So
is,
I could just accept that answer that you give me.
Yeah.
And we'll go back and check. And if you're wrong, you still get the point if I don't challenge you.
Okay. So basically, if you challenge
me, it's a way to go to end the game.
If you challenge me and I'm wrong, I lose.
I think that's,
if you challenge me and you're wrong, you lose.
I think that's our game. I think that's our rules.
Let's do it.
That's our rules.
That's a great idea.
Okay. I think we met in the middle on them rules, and it took us only 7 podcasts to get to it. But anyway, I want to challenge you because I don't know another one.
All right, we'll go for it. Look it up.
Edward Norton.
Just Google the Incredible Hulk movie.
I'm just gonna put Edward Norton. And then I'm going to go all filmographic. Or no, because we're not on. We are in.
Well, if you're challenging me, we're done, right? Because you lose a point and I automatically win.
Yeah, we're done. I'm challenging you because I didn't know
as
anymore.
As soon as there's a challenge, we're done from now on? Like, if I challenge you?
No. If I knew more, I would have kept going.
You wouldn't have challenged me.
But I could still challenge you. But at the end of it, it might go back and fuck me in the ass. Because at one point, I get taken away from
it. I follow what you're saying. Okay,
but I still get the point if I know another one after that, after I challenge you. Damn, he played in a lot of shit. Collateral Beauty, Mother of Brooklyn, Sausage Party, The Guardian, Brother, last week. Birdman. I want to watch Birdman. I hadn't seen it yet. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
Birdman with Michael Keaton?
I mean, I know the movie.
Oh, I seen this one. This was a Robert De Niro movie with Edward Norton called Stone. That was a really good movie. You should check that out. Podcast Land. The Incredible Hulk. Okay, I lost.
All right, well, let's move on to our next game.
Well, that sucks.
Fairly new game called Stump the Chump.
All right.
So, Big Lance, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Whoever finds me first. But I already found the movie I want to do, so I'm going to go into... I'm going to go into Goofs. All right, I got one.
Goofs? Yeah. All right, bring it to me.
All right, and I'm going to change the guy's name.
Okay.
I'm going to change the character's name.
All right.
Okay, when Kevin spills his coffee next to the photocopier, he used the garbage can to cover his spill. In the next scene, the garbage can is back to its original position.
When Kevin spilled his coffee, what now?
Next to the photocopier.
Next to the photocopier.
He used the garbage can to cover his spill. In the next scene, the garbage can is back to its original position. I'll give you another one.
Give me another. All right. Throw out a bonus. Go for it.
When Bob shows his motorcycle, there aren't any helmets in sight. Not on the bike or on the ground next to it. Yet moments later, both Bob and Kevin are wearing helmets when they ride the bike.
See, that fucked me up because I had an answer with the first one.
That sounds like Dumb and Dumber or something, don't it?
Yeah. It does. And And I so had that fuck. I had a completely different answer when you named the first one.
Really?
I was about to yell it out. Now I'm going to say Daddy's Home.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
What was it?
What was your first answer?
Oh, fuck. What was the first thing you said?
Spills of coffee and photo coffee.
Oh, Pineapple Express.
Nope. You're wrong on both.
Oh, what was it?
Did we do Pineapple Express?
Yeah, we did Pineapple Express.
Central Intelligence.
Ah!
Podcast Land, go check out Central Intelligence.
Hey, and also check out Pineapple Express and,
yeah.
What was the other one I just said? Daddy's Home.
Daddy's
yeah,
home.
Check those out. We did those three episodes.
Yeah, they were all both good
so
episodes.
So, Big Lance stumped the chump.
I stumped the chump. What the fuck?
All right. Well, now it's on...
It's on you.
It's on me to stump the chump.
I kind of like this game.
It's a pretty cool game, huh? Mm-hmm. Let me see what I got here.
And are you doing goofs, quotes?
I ain't got that far. I just got the movie.
Okay.
I think
I like our little game segment. I actually like this better than talking about the movies. I want to go to the Doug Loves
Movies.
All right,
I'm going into quotes on my movie tonight so that I can stump
the
chump.
I like quotes. I like. Well, give me a line, brother.
I'm not exactly sure what happened. Sometimes I remember it one way, sometimes another. If I'm going to have a past, I prefer it to be multiple choice.
I'm going to go with Edge of Tomorrow just because it sounds kind of like he can choose.
Nope. Oh. I stumped the chump.
Okay.
The Killing Joke. That was a quote from Joker.
Say it again.
I'm not exactly sure what happened. Sometimes I remember it one way, sometimes another. If I'm going to have a past, I prefer it to be multiple choice.
Damn, that's when he's talking about his girl, his wife dying, I think.
Yep.
But... Damn, that's cool. Well, check out The Killing Joke, everybody. And
hell
also
yeah.
Check out, what's the movie under name? Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise.
Two very good movies, by
Absolutely.
The way.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that pretty much gets us to where we need one word on this movie.
Well, my one word is going to be anti-racist.
My one word is meant to bring in unity by saying American.
Cool.
Because if you're a citizen here, you're American.
That's right.
All right. Well, guys, if y'all enjoyed this episode, check us out at thesmokingshelter.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on iTunes, man. Y'all been giving us a lot of love. Keep it up. Like us, follow us, give us reviews.
Twitter's
Beyond
on
that,
Twitter.
We're on Podomatic. We're on Podbean. We're all over the place. Just Google.
Check out our Patreon site, man. We
just
got
Google
some really good
shelter.
Shit on our Patreon
Oh, yeah,
site.
Man. We got some behind-the-scenes shit on the Patreon site. Just go to patreon.com/thesmokyshelter. I think we're done. Any last words, Big Lance?
Say goodnight.
Okay.
Why so serious?
Dance off, bro. Me and you. Broke into the wrong goddamn rec room, didn't you, you bastard?
Time to nut up or shut up.
You have no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being. Me, protect you. Sleep.
That's when he kicks the dude in the back of the head, dude. He says, say goodnight.
Okay.
And Scarface also says, say goodnight to the bad guy. Ain't that kind of coincidental?